You want to tell us what order you're going to go through these documents in?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Be ready for this.
Okay. First thing I'm going to talk about is the cash flow. I think I put them in this order. That's cash flow 229. Now this is updated from the next document, which is a cash flow projection that never was provided early in January, and that's provided for comparison purposes. The reason we provided these is that if you look at the January one, which is the second document, it shows at that point a cash flow shortage of $1.5 million by the end of June. With the updated figures that we got between January and February, that number is looking more like a $2 million shortfall by the end of June. So that's part of the problem, and I'm going to cover another document in a minute. The other documents that I provided to council, I gave you the cash balances as of 229, so that you'd see what the cash balances were in each of the funds. I gave you the budget to actual report, which is the one that's 40-some pages long, which is our normal monthly report, which is also as of 229. But we thought it would be helpful in the document that I just handed out to all the council members is this five-year revenue comparison, which I've also got up here on the board, just for ease of reference. We picked five major items to compare to kind of show everybody what's happened over the last few years and the revenue that we've had coming in. And we took our property taxes, we took the GM agreement, income taxes, say revenue sharing, and then fines and forfeitures through the court. Now, as we look at these, if we go back to 2008, because we did a five-year comparison, total for just these five indicators is $13.5 million was our revenue that we were bringing in that year. As we go along, we had this nice year in 2009 where we jumped to 16.3. The big thing was the jump in the GM agreement. This is one of those years we've got that big jump that we really weren't anticipating, but things went well. We got a big number. Then we dropped back down in 2010 and 2011 to $13.9 and $14 million, about the same, just for these indicators, which shows we had some consistency. Now you'll notice too, suddenly if you look at the GM agreement, this is the time period where we had the battle with Detroit, where they held up and kept us at about $1 million, and then when the whole thing settled, we got the 3.2 to bring us back in line. And then we've got 2012. Now, these first 4 years are all actual revenues. This is exactly what we're reporting in our financial statements for these indicators. But when we get to 2012, we've got a sudden drop. And it's a drop that we didn't anticipate. We anticipated some drop because we had 14, and the red numbers over here are the budgeted numbers. We actually budgeted 12.2 as a comparison. So we were anticipating a drop in our revenues already. Unfortunately, the reality is, instead of 12.2, we're down to 10.6 on our revenues. Now that's actual 229 plus Nevers' projections through June 30th, so that we know where we're at. The big difference in what's gone on here has been GM agreement. We budgeted $1.7 million. This is what we anticipated based not only on kind of an average of what was going on, but in several of the previous years prior to 2008, we were getting approximately $1.7 million. It was kind of like the base number of the agreement. So we budgeted the base number. Well, due to drops in assessed values on the property, plus, turns out, numerous tax appeals by GM, We're now being told by Detroit and looking at the numbers, and Nevers is currently working with them to verify the numbers, but we're going to be about $1 million short just on that agreement. Right now they're telling us we're going to get about $700,000 when we actually budgeted $1.7 million again. The other ones are relatively minor changes. Property taxes are pretty much on schedule. The income tax, well, it's down a little bit, but not a total surprise, because that wouldn't be down. The others are relatively close, except for the fines and forfeitures. They're down by about $400,000. Now, basically what that means right here is not only are we down from what we budgeted, and as you can see, we trailed down to this 12.2 number, but we're only at 10.6. So we're $1.6 million below what we budgeted just on those indicators. Now, what NERVIS has shown you in that February 29th projection is that we're close to $2 million down from where we were, or that's the shortfall we're anticipating. Simple combination of when you start to look at all of the other little items between revenues being down and some of the expenditures being higher than what was budgeted, we're in that roughly a $2 million shortfall that's going to occur by the end of June. So the question obviously is, where do we go from here? As council directed, we put together a proposal on budget reductions. I had all of the department heads identify what they could make as cuts. In the document that I gave you, that comes out to just over $250,000. So our $2 million shortfall is potentially down to 1.75, and we need to come up with a way to see if there's a way to balance that out. A direct way to balance it out basically doesn't exist. We would have to go into substantial changes in staffing numbers and or get even larger concessions than what the unions have already offered to us. So we have started to look at the possibilities of state loans, tax anticipation loans, to see if they're available, which about 18 months ago when we looked at that possibility, it really wasn't available. Banks were not willing, even with the state's guarantee through a revenue sharing dollar. But we're going through that process again. There was some paperwork that we had to turn into the state, which NERVIS has one item completed, which was the CDBG, the shortfall and that, the,
corrective action plan.
Okay. The only item showed that had a deficit that we had to address was CDBG funding. That was an easy one to address because that is very simply the fact that CDBG hadn't reimbursed us for some of the expenses. And we both found it a little strange that the state even asked about that from the audit, but we had to address that. The other thing we have to do is we have to turn in the F-65 report, which NERVIS has been working on. That's part of a standard reporting at the beginning of each year. He should have that to the state next week. And then we will have, from the state standpoint, everything we need to go forward with the potential for a loan, either through the state or a loan guaranteed by the state. Now, a loan is nice, but if it's a tax anticipation note, that has to be repaid within 12 months. And that's repaid by a guarantee of our revenue sharing. Now, we've already projected, as we did last year's budget, and we've done some updates, that the 2013 budget is going to potentially be $3.5 million short. If we were to take a tax anticipation loan, technically you could say we were going to be closer to $5.5 million short. That doesn't mean that we couldn't do a series of rollover loans, but what we have no idea right now is how much and how long we could stave off an actual shortfall. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. I did put out a memo to all employees about the potential for payless paydays. I felt that was prudent in order to warn them of that possibility. It's not 100% guaranteed that we're going to do it, but it's going to be heavily dependent on things like if we take a tax anticipation loan or some other type of loan product through the state. It's going to be heavily dependent on when and how, et cetera. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. So, questions from the council?
Question.
Madam Chair?
Councilwoman Gordon first, and then Councilman.
I appreciate the fact that we're working on this budget. I think we need to prioritize here and deal with this shortfall, this cash shortfall. I think immediately we need to do that. I see, Mr. Nevers, if I'm reading this correctly, we're facing a $263,000 shortfall by the end of the month.
Actually, I believe that's what we started at the beginning. That's the beginning balance as of March 1st.
Oh, this is 331.
But on the left-hand side says beginning balance, and then I end up at the bottom is the end balance.
So what are you predicting? Your prediction is 545?
Yes, at the end of the month. Yes.
Look at the numbers are at the bottom, Councilman.
Which is the same
as ones down here with the double underline.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You're predicting $1.4 million deficit. April 1st, the bottom.
Yes.
Because of decrease in revenue, is that what you're telling me?
Mostly, yes.
Okay. So then my next question is, if we entertain the thought of a tax anticipation loan, we borrow and then we have to pay back when the taxes come in. Those taxes are already budgeted for the next fiscal year, am I correct? As revenue?
Not yet, but they will be, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So I believe we did a two-year budget.
It is budgeted as part of the 2013 budget.
So if it's budgeted as part of that 2013 budget, all you're doing is you fix it, you band-aid this, now you're going to be that much more of a deficit in 2013. All you're going to do is increase that deficit.
I believe that's what Mr. Cooper just said.
Yeah.
So back to my original question, I don't think we need to look at budgets. I think we need to look at our immediate problem, which is the $545,000.
Actually, we need to look at 2 million.
I'll look at anything you'd like to look at. I just don't want to see people.
It wouldn't make any sense to look at 1 month. We have to look at the rest of this fiscal year, which takes us to June 30th, which has us at roughly a $2 million shortfall.
Okay, so then is it safe to say we'll keep our comments? It's all right with everybody to July 1st. Try and solve the problem from today to July 1st. Focus on that area. And then we can move forward with the following year.
I don't think we're going to get to the following year.
Well, I'm saying I don't either. But I mean, if we focus on from today to the 30th of June, and try and tweak that, try and find the money for that, then only then can we move forward to deal with the 2013 deficit.
Councilman Azali,
feelings.
I have a question for Mr. Cooper. When you have the summary proposal budget reduction, you said that you went to the department head and you asked them to see what you can do to have some reduction in the department.
Yes.
There's, as you know, public safety is the major problem for the, not a problem, major money that go to the public safety, the police and the fire. And I see here all the department, except the police department, I see zero. Did you talk to him about this issue?
Absolutely. As part of your packet, you will see his response in there.
Okay.
Because I attached the detail from every department head, whether that was a line item reduction, whether that was some form of explanation. Mm-hmm. And essentially what the police chief is saying is that based on where his budget sits right now, he is anticipating that he can't make any cuts in the budget, that he would not have to come back within the next 30 to 60 days and ask the money to be reinstated.
Thank you.
Councilman Jim Council.
I think one thing we need to pay attention to in the proposed budget reductions, because that's simply what they are, proposed budget reductions and not proposed expenses. A lot of these budget reductions are due to the fact that the money just wasn't spent. And so, you know, that's where a lot of these numbers are coming from.
That's correct.
So I can read that as to say that there were no really any other places to cut expenses, or that just wasn't the mandate.
No, the mandate was to cut as far as you could cut and still be able to operate based on the fact that the council passed a resolution trying to attempt to cut up to 30%. And this is what I got back. And I did question most of the department heads. Basically what they're saying is if they cut, then as was proposed during part of that discussion, they would be back probably in May, if not June, to ask for more money. So essentially it became, we could cut deeper, but what was the point if we were going to turn right around within 60 days and ask for the money back, or at least some sizable portion of the money? So it was better to identify what we knew we could have cut without having to come back and ask again. That made no sense. We'd be wasting time for both the department heads and the council cutting and then going back and saying we need it back again. So we tried to come up with what was there that we could take out of the budget and would not have to be concerned about coming back and asking for more to replace it.
Chair. Council asked for 30% cut.
Up to.
With 259, what percentage is that?
Of the total budget?
No.
The general fund.
We asked for up to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
$259,400. What did that come out to?
That's
nice.
Okay.
Nice.
It's not much because the total budget was $18.2 million.
Right. Less than what?
1% would be 180,000.
One point five percent.
About what's there.
The percentages are a little misleading, Councilman, because of the fact that $6 million is tied to the benefits, i.e., MERS and Blue Cross Blue Shield. So you basically nothing you can do to that at this time today or next year. Those funds have been committed. The obligation to the retirees, as City Attorney will vouch on that, nothing we can do in the short term in that obligation. So you're talking about this being 1.5% of the $18.2 million. You have to take in consideration the fact that out of that 18.2, close to six to be exact, is benefits, and then add the $7.2 million in wages that are committed through various union contracts or other employment contracts. So you're up to $14 million that cannot be touched, as far as I'm concerned, without breaking the contracts. Therefore, when you are asking us, or when the city manager asked the department heads, including me, there is a certain degree of that we don't have leeway, we don't have much wiggle room to cut majority of our budget, especially at this juncture, especially at being 2 months away, 3 months away from the end of the year. Therefore, that 2%, in my point of view, is more than 10% if you're talking about just that.
If you add all those benefits and those things,
yeah,
going over 10.
So, I mean, that's a relative number. That's what I'm trying to point out, that the percentage may be a little misleading at this point.
I totally disagree with the fact that we're dealing with this 4 months here, $2 million. I mean, we're getting $2 million in deficit this year. We'll also be engaging in the next 2 months the budget for next year. We're looking at $3.5 million for next year. We're looking at $5.5 million. We're not looking at the shortfall. We're looking at restructuring some major, major changes. I mean, let's not stall with an assumption that we're going to buy with a loan or tax anticipation to deal with 4 months. We're dealing with the next 16 months. As of July the 1st, we'll be going through the $300,000 a month deficit. So let's not beat around the bush and just deal with what we think we're in front of us. It goes beyond these 4 months. And we have to deal with that. So we're here to deal with this, plus add to the fact that we've got to deal with next year's budget, which we're right about to do right now. So let's not talk about 2 million. Let's talk about 5.5 million.
Okay.
I'm confused about the budget reduction in public services, because the memo I have here shows the only public services cut I see is one person's salary,
yes,
which is $55,521.17. But on here I've got $13,000.
55 is the annual salary. 13 would come.
Oh, for the 3 months. I see.
Here.
Thanks.
And there. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get down to work here, Mr. Demers. Have we looked into refinancing those bonds? Why?
The response to that would be that one of the bonds, the last payment is come this October, $350,000. The other bond is $120,000 a year. And what financing can come to save?
And what interest rate are we paying on that money?
Very low. My understanding is that we are around 3%.
You can't get it down to 1%?
And there's a state is willing to give us, no financial institution would be willing to do that. But that doesn't make the refinancing the bonds doesn't make sense from my standpoint at this.
So then I guess my next question would be, would it be advantageous for us, rather than looking at a tax anticipation loan, rather than doing that, is applying for a loan through the state?
Those are the options that the city manager has to have.
We've never, and I've just started discussions on that.
Well, I don't know if there's a whole lot you have to discuss about that, because we discussed that last year. Mm-hmm. So we should be able to have the numbers.
State has all kinds of gifts and maybe then.
And they change the routine with that?
That's
procedure?
What we're trying to find out right now.
I really don't think we can come up with anything other than a loan.
I kind of agree with Mr. Jola. If we take the loan again and again, we're going to take it anyway at a certain point. If we don't do the major change here, loan going to be gone by next year again. So we have to do some major change here. And Mr. Najarko, one more question. You have the $131,000 you try to give up?
Yes, but that's...
How that happened?
I have a few departments under my wing, and would be the income tax, two income tax departments, the finance department, controls office, personnel department, and the general administration. The big bulk of that amount is we had an account for wages, contractual wages for unforeseen at that time, that we usually keep the account active, and I'm slashing 50,000 off of that account. So for the rest of that, 81,000 is coming from the other departments. Like I said, I have 4 or 5 departments that I
think he is smart enough hold up for today to show us 131 looks in very good.
I don't think that was my intention, but
it's okay. It's a good thing though. If I have some other department do that, maybe we can survive.
Thank you.
All right, so with respect to next week's council meeting, next Tuesday, city manager is coming in with the budget amendments relative to what's already been submitted here.
We've already made the cuts. We can do it by budget amendments if you like. That's not a problem.
Well, I would assume that that's an appropriate step right there, that we're making the budget amendments to reflect that we've cut these expenses or these budget.
We can do that.
Okay. And also it being proposed bringing back your recommendation to ask the state of Michigan for a financial review, which we would entertain next week. And what has been discussed, or what feedback have we had in the past 2 or 3 months from the state of Michigan Lansing with respect to the treasurer's office, or anything relative to their being aware of our particular situation, or are they offered any recommendations or comments relative to our situation?
State of Michigan is aware of our situation. They approached me on Friday. They asked for our budget information, our budget to actual information, our cash flow projections, all of which were provided to them. As of right now, the only suggestion they have made is a tax anticipation one. They're thinking short term, not long term. And I already told them that $2 million to get me through this year would be nice, but I'm going to face the problem next year, so I have to think more in terms of my total problem, which is a year and a half or a year and 4 months, as opposed to just getting through the 4 months. So that last conversation occurred yesterday morning. I'm waiting to hear back from them on some other ideas.
All right, then, in other words, then, so basically we don't have much choice other than to proceed with the tax anticipation note in order to give us that, that breathing room, or to make significant structural changes, and if possible, having the state come in and review our financial situation, and also possibly the state coming up with some other suggestions, recommendations, and or assistance. But in terms of what we can accomplish tonight, other than maybe acquiring a consensus that we would go for the tax anticipation note in order to allow us to prepare next year's budget and restructure, major restructure.
Regardless of what action was taken, it has to be taken by council.
Correct.
And whatever we finally figure out is either the best course of action and or the one recommended by the state that makes the most sense, that's what we have to bring before council, lay out all the facts, explain exactly how it would work, what the impact is in the short run and the long run, and go from there.
Well, we're running out of time right now. And I mean, it's a matter of setting things in motion right now, and it's a course we have to take. And right now, the course is that we need to get a cash flow relief right now so we can do the major restructuring. We can't do that under the pressure that we're under right now.
Well, it looks to me like that process is already in place. But if the city manager's already been talking to the state, if the possibility of a loan has already been discussed, that process is already in motion.
But we still have to initiate that.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The loan itself.
Right.
Just a second.
That can move. A tax anticipation loan can move fairly quickly. The problem with a tax anticipation loan is that the loan actually comes from the bank. So a bank has to agree, and then it's backed by the revenue sharing that the state guarantees that they will, if necessary, take the payments out of the revenue sharing that we get to assure that the loan gets repaid.
Mr. Cooper, the reality of the situation is we have to come up with $500,000 in 4 weeks. Fair enough.
We either have to come up with it, or we at least have to we have to know it's something's coming so that we can adjust other payments.
Okay, so my next question to you is, Payless Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of applying for this loan, we have someone we can borrow that money from, another fund?
We have other funds we could borrow it from, yes.
because it's my opinion, if I'm correct, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if we go payless, the state comes in.
It's one of multiple triggers, yes.
So we really don't want to go payless.
Just because we do something like go payless or don't pay contractors or whatever doesn't mean the state's necessarily coming in. It means that it is one of the potential triggers under the Public Act that says the state can come in.
Well, they're already knowledgeable. I'm sure that'll get their attention real quickly.
But they have also kind of indicated that they're not real anxious to jump in.
We're not anxious to have them here.
Well, I can argue that, but the impression they're giving me right now is that they would rather help us find a way for us to work through it without them having to come in.
Councilman Hassan?
Mr. Cooper, since you are the executive, like you right now said, they give us loan and they want us to come out something to how we're going to return the loan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you have some kinds of plan to balance the budget, measure structuring plan, and you can submit it to us today, then we can talk about it? Or?
As of right now, no, I don't. We've just started the budget process. The budget is due to council. We can speed up the process to some degree, but as of right now, just looking at our ongoing expenditures and knowing what we can and cannot do, making changes, there's a major question whether or not there's any way we can balance the budget.
Okay, we've been talking this a long time. So we was expecting from you to have the plan A, plan B, plan C. This is the way we have to balance the budget.
And we're working on that right now.
So I think it's too late now. That's why I'm wondering. We should have something, I don't know, close session for what if we don't have something. We know whatever number, we know from long time, and it's coming and coming, back and forth. Same paperwork is coming, little number change, and maybe another work session is going to maybe change some to the 3 to 9, 9 to 3, come back again, same item number, same. There is any item number change or anything like a, there is the reality. The police department, very clear note I see that they cannot cut without violate any contact or anything. So which direction we are going? If we have to survive the city, we have to take the real action. Okay, I'm doing this. If you know this council member, and you're going to have this problem from the UAW in your side, or and you can save the city, or you're going to be in big problem. So we don't know if I go this way, it's going to be a real big problem. If I go this way, we can survive, we can adjust the amount. And we, everybody talking. It's the money, money, money. But we nobody talking about the balance the budget. Change the line item. Not really. Something we was looking for.
But it's directly related to the budget.
Councilman Aguzar.
Mr. Cooper, according to this proposal, you have the reduction of $259,000. One council member mentioned that we have to amend the budget. Other council members said we have 4 weeks to come up with $500,000. What's the other way if you had a chance to look into, I know I spoke about this issue before, to have a 5-10% cut across the board? Everybody that worked for the city. What the possibility?
We can do that for the non-union people.
Okay.
For the union people, it'd be a violation of their contract. They'd immediately grieve it. Can you do it? Of course you can do it, but you'll lose the arbitration. Because it's in their contract what their salaries are.
Yeah.
So you can't just go and make those cuts. They'll grieve it. If the cuts are too drastic, if we were to do multiple things and the cuts were to be extremely drastic, then there's a possibility they might even go the extra step of attempting to get a court injunction to block us until such time as we could get into arbitration and get a ruling from an arbitrator. But if you directly violate the contract, you will lose the arbitration. It's that simple.
So, Mr. Cooper, in your discussions with the state, what's the timetable for your next communication with them?
I will probably be talking to them either tomorrow or Friday.
You're calling them, or they're calling you, or what's going on?
Well, they may call me, but I plan on calling them. Mr. Nazarko is looking at a couple of things we talked about today, other possible routes to help us through the remainder of this year.
And what would those be?
Possibility of just sitting with the bank and not actually doing a tax anticipation loan, but setting up so that the bank might cover our paydays for us, the 3 to 4 that might be payless. We would have to pay them back, obviously, but it would be a matter of are we paying back our employees or are we paying back the bank? It's a short-term solution. We're trying to work on a longer-term solution, and that's one of the things I'm trying to press the state on, options to help us get through the next 2 years.
What of these expenses that we have both in March and in April, which ones can we postpone without having any serious consequences, such as MERS, because MERS is, we're not paying directly our pensioners, but we're paying to the MERS fund. Which one of these expenses can we postpone in terms of a cash flow situation?
MERS.
MERS is the easier one to postpone. Blue Cross Blue Shield will not be as kind with us. I've been told before when we have come close to the deadline that Blue Cross will cut us insurance, cut off our insurance. So the short answer would be MERS is the easiest one to delay to aid the cash flow.
This is about how much per month?
It depends on the payroll. The amount of overtime lately has been, the average has been $320,000 a month.
To MERS?
To MERS.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Sure.
Go on.
Again, if we delay the money to the MERS, are they going to charge us interest rate?
They do, but is not doesn't come out of general fund per se. They charge that. It's kind of like hidden charge that goes to our funding there, but not something that we do directly with them.
Okay. Now, and also, Mr. Cooper, if we borrow money from the bank, are you going to charge us interest also?
I'm sorry, Councilman.
Are you going to charge us interest?
Absolutely. If you borrow from anybody, they're going to charge you interest. We have to determine what the interest rate is, obviously.
Thank you.
Chair, to the council, to the colleagues, I heard you guys responded to, okay, deep cuts and drastic measures needs to be taken, but I haven't heard anything on the table. Where are these cuts going to come from? In which department, or is it all departments? And what are we looking at? I got a question for Mr. Cooper. We had talked about the last session pertaining to the retirees and the benefits. Have you had any communication with them?
With the retirees? Not yet.
Why not?
We're getting ready to send a letter out to them, but we have already gotten feedback from some retirees, which have basically told us where to go.
Okay.
We are going to send a letter out to all of them so that we get a quasi-official response, but we're already getting feedback from a couple of major employee groups that speak to the retirees, and they've already told us that they aren't going to take any cuts.
Okay.
And their pension and benefits.
Oh, okay. That's nice. We'll take that information.
One of the things that I do not see, and I have raised some questions on it, what is the status of our receivables? I mean, where are we at with respect to our receivables? Whether it be warrants, whether it be business, whether it be landlord. I don't know all the list of receivables, but do we have a separate receivable listing that we can look at and say, well, there's a source of revenues that aren't necessarily being tapped in or aggressively gone after.
I don't understand what you're asking.
Well, when receivables are receivables. Somebody owes us money. What's out there? I mean, is it just sitting in somebody's drawers and we're not collecting warrants or whatever the case may be, or water bills or landlord and business licenses, you name it. I mean, the point is this. What do people owe us that we're not collecting?
Can I interject on that?
No.
The receivables can be classified into a few categories, and those are the court receivables, which we do not have any control over it, but through cooperation with the court and police department, we can enforce the collection of those receivables. Court is ongoing, and there are outstanding warrants out there for those people who owe us, so if they get apprehended for any type of violation, they are arrested, and they come to court, and they thrown in jail if they do not pay up. So those are the receivables that, and again, the court can give you a better answer on how to speed up the process of collection. I'm not sure if much can be done, but the only avenue that I think we can pursue, which I don't think we have been doing a lot lately, is we used to send police officers, if somebody owed us $3,000-$4,000, let's say, at their homes and arrested them or their place of work. So that's one type of receivable. The other one is the income tax receivables, which we are pursuing diligently, but with the stage of the economy lately has become harder and harder to collect. If you want me to give you a number as to what's the outstanding receivable on the income tax side, for example, I can tell you that we have anywhere from $400,000 to $550,000 outstanding. How much of that is collectible? If I would put a number, approximately 20% of that is collectible. And that comes in every month. Now, we may want that money to come tomorrow. That may not be feasible. But we are working on it, and we have really good handle on that, those accounts. Again, we have 2,200 active cases, criminal cases, with the court system on the income tax side. And so some of those cases date back from the year 2000. Every year we receive 1,800 new delinquent accounts, approximately, give or take, from 1,500 to 1,800 delinquent accounts, 1,900 through an exchange program. We have information exchange program that we have with the state of Michigan. And we are pursuing, we are hot on the trail of those accounts. Again, the portion of those that are collectible lower percentage because of the economy, state of economy, because people moving out of state, and honestly, some of those people who have brought to court, they prefer to go to jail and because they don't have the means to pay. So that's the other receivable that we have. Another receivable that is a short term that nothing we can do to speed up is the water receivable, for example, that I know that in most cases we are 30 to 60 days behind in sending the bills and collecting. That money is coming in timely. How to speed that up? I'll leave that up to the DPW director. And those are the major receivables that, other than the receivables that we book in our normal course of business, such as receivable from the state of Michigan and the revenue machine, but those are not.
Where do we stand on water receivables?
How much is out there? I'll say today, $400,000.
And in the past, the city has hired outside outsourced collections. And we consider that as a possibility that we can do that in terms of, for example, like warrants. Used to have outsourcing, used to have retired policemen go out collecting outstanding warrants. And they worked on a percentage, they worked on that based on what they could collect.
We haven't done that, as I said, lately, but another type of receivable that I forgot to mention is the ambulance service that we provide. We have an outside firm who collects on our behalf, and the portion that is uncollectible, we partnered out to a collection agency called Midwestern Audit Services. I have a pile on my desk, approximately 350 to sign, because I had to authorize the collection of that are waiting. And that area is another area that we are, we have a receivable coming, but between what's coming and how much we can collect, there are two different things.
Do you have an amount from what's outstanding in the courts?
I don't have a good number tonight on it.
Do we have?
I haven't had
any numbers, recent numbers, within the past 6 months?
From the court?
Yeah.
I can tell you that the revenue from the court has been fines and fees that are coming from all the departments, not just income tax, but public services, housing, code enforcement, and all that, and the traffic program tickets, has been approximately $110,000 a month. And that $110,000 includes not only the current enforcement, but collection of past activities. So that's the best estimate I can give you. The court system is bringing fines and fees revenue anywhere from $100,000 to $110,000. The last 3 months has been $110,000.
But we don't know what's outstanding.
We do not know, but that's factored into that money pouring in. If I would take a guess, I think the court probably is owed around $800,000. But I don't have the number. I'll talk to the court administrator tomorrow to give us the answer on that.
Madam Chair.
We can
continue beat the bushes for 5-6 hours. If the public safety, the police and the fire didn't come along with us to work on this budget and this deficit, I don't think we can make any difference. 250,000, 300,000, it doesn't cut it. Now, what the option of laying off, Mr. Cooper? Or in open 4 days a week instead of 5 days? What a possibility.
Open 4 days a week, that would primarily affect the AFSCME union. If you're talking the concept of 4 days a week and paying in 32 hours, we would have to negotiate that with them.
We have to negotiate. We can do it without negotiation. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I hear that Detroit laid off people from public safety. Then the federal government came along and said, you know what, instead of laying 110 people from public safety, we will take care of those, put them back to the force, and we pay for it. Do you hear about that, the federal government doing that?
The city of Detroit does not have minimum manning clauses in their contracts. So they have pretty much free rein to do layoffs as many as they want to. And when the government came up with the program for money, they had already laid off quite a few cops, and federal funds allowed them to bring a certain number back.
So would you then agree that
we are eligible to go ahead? There is a cops grant out there, but by the size of our department, we are eligible for two. But we have to lay them off first before we can get the money.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Only two.
Correct.
Now, no matter what we do here, if, like I said, public safety is not going to come along, then what does it make a difference? 250, 300,000 is not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. We have to do something drastic to balance the budget.
Yes. That's why we've taken a stance during negotiations of some pretty substantial cuts. That's what we've proposed. And even if the police and fire unions were to agree to those cuts, there would still most likely be layoffs associated with it in order to get us to a point where we might be able to balance the budget.
Well, you know, you said that to balance the budget. We want to, right now, we are at the point where we want to survive. We want everybody to get a paycheck at the end of the week. And from what I see right now, in a month from now, maybe less than a month, we didn't even have any money to pay people. Is that correct? Is that correct, Mr. Roper?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other discussion tonight? Then I believe this work session is about done.
I have a question for you.
Very quickly.
Is our next move now to meet an open session, maybe Tuesday, make a decision as to...
Well, we have a council meeting on Tuesday.
That's being
so
we'll be making a decision about
the
budget.
That's up to council.
I mean, we can't wait. See, 500,000 short, we got to make a decision. So, you and Mr. Members, we prepared to present that to us Tuesday.
possibly pull together by Tuesday and recommendation to our best decision.
Including the application for the loan.
Depending on where we are with it, we'll try to have the application for the loan. That's not totally within our control. That's where the United States is going.
Madam Mayor, I have another question. Okay.
We do have a special meeting coming up. Immediately after, I think, the work session. Will we be moving upstairs for that?
Downstairs.
It was announced as being.